This is also being recorded and will be uploaded for the OU website. It's great to have everybody here for the annual Haggadah Shir. Again, as we say each year, I will try to stay with the sheets, the new ideas for this year. Again, Baruch Hashem, we've had this chus of having many years worth, 17, 18 years worth of Haggadah Shiurim, so feel free to listen to the archives for other thoughts. But this year, each year we try to have new ideas, maybe one or two repeats, but we'll focus on that. And again, this is a challenging a year for the whole world, a challenging year for Am Yisrael, a unique Pesach that, you know, Rachmana Litzlan, you know, as it stands now, we will all remember, but let us try to do our best to get the most out of it. That again, the more we put into it, the more we get out of it, in whichever forum we find ourselves, probably a smaller group of participants at Siddurim than we're used to. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Shechina Itanu, Shechina Ima Anochi B'tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. And as we get ready for the Seder, and as we get ready for the special night that just stands a week away, let us do what we can to learn and appreciate every paragraph, every part of Magid, every part of the Seder, and B'tzara Hashem, in that way, we could get the most out of it, even though the plans for our Siddurim are probably very different than we had thought just 1 month ago. But the Haggadah is still the Haggadah. And let's start with talking about that word, the word Haggadah, with two introductory thoughts. Rabbi Goldscheider and his Haggadah, Laila Shel Achdus, which compiles different thoughts from Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Cook, and Rav Shlomo Kalbach. He quotes on the first page of the Haggadah two amazing thoughts from Rav Soloveitchik relating to Haggadah. On the first page, he writes, Rav Soloveitchik Savur Shamila Haggadah Eina Rak Ach Verak HaKoterech Al HaChoverech Anu Karm B'Lel Pesach. Haggadah is an interesting word. There are a lot of words that could mean tell over. And if I look away from the screen, I have my children in front of me, so you can't see them. But that's what I'm giving the shiur to this year, the only ones in person. But the word Haggadah, V'higadot al Labincha, that's the phrase used by in the Torah. What's the message of Haggadah? So Rav Soloveitchik said maybe it's connected to Haggadah's Edus. That's where we also have Haggadah in the Torah. What does Haggadah's Edus mean? When I tell over something that I witnessed, something that I saw. That's what Haggadah has to be. Like you give over testimony. We're giving over. We need to be in a state where we're giving over the testimony. Ki'ilu we were there. Ki'ilu yatsim Mitzrayim. That's why Dafka, the word Haggadah, is used. Hamila Haggadah krova l'mashmos shel ha-musag Haggadah's Edus. Klomar, Edus bebezdin. Kasher adam meid bebezdin. When a person gives testimony in bezdin, alav limsar, Edus al basis chavayaso ha-ishit, based on his personal experience. V'lomi piyashmua. And not what he heard, not hearsay. It's not eid mi piyed. Haggadah means I saw it. I felt it. I witnessed it. We call it the Haggadah because of Yigadah Levincha, but that captures the essence of the night that we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to get, maybe not at the beginning, but as we go through, and by the end of Magid, Becholdar Vadar, Chayav Adam Liros as Atzmo, we have to try to feel as if we're out, as if we have gone free. And maybe we'll touch on that. And maybe this year, it could even be a little easier, because we feel the genus and we feel the shibud and we feel the avdus maybe more than any other time in our lifetime. Rachmana Litzlan, there's been many shibudim in the past 2,000 years that Jews have had tsaris and much more difficult situations. Rachmana Litzlan, we're not comparing any tsara to any tsara. But for many of us, this is a Pesach that looks like we're going to be more meshubad than we've ever been and more limited. And this is what we have to try to get the most out of this Pesach as we try to do out of any Pesach. That's number one, Haggadah. But then there's another element, another word that we could focus on, and that is the word Sipur. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, L'saper. So when we think of the word Sipur, to say over, HaMitzvah Amer Kazit B'Lel HaSeder, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, continues Rev Soloveitchik, Shelamila Sipur Yeshna Mashmos Nosefes. There is a special meaning to the word Sipur as well. Me'ever l'mashmos shel Sipur eruim shekaru ba'avar. Sipur is from the word sofer and sefer. What does a sofer, a scribe, do? He engraves, he writes on a cloth, on parchment, something that's supposed to last forever and ever. He is creating an object that has kedusha, creating an object that is meant to to be a davar shebekdusha. Whenever we're mesaper, we're sofrim, we are scribes, and we're writing on the hearts of all of those that are attending our Seder. We're writing a davar shebekdusha also. Ha'adam shamales advar malaksav, sofer stam, when a sofer writes a sefer Torah or a Megillah, yotzer mashu sheyesh lo kiyam kavua, he creates something that has a permanence, something that will serve future generations, even beyond the time that the mesaper is or the sofer is no longer there. Belala seder ha'horim gamim kaviyacho kosvim sefer balkiyim nitzchi. Every parent and grandparent is creating a sefer by being mesaper. We are each a scribe. Hayeled u'asefer shalav choras ha'horas ha'pa'er v'ahadr shalai la'kodosh hazeh bakaraso. Each child, on the heart of the child, we are engraving the messages of the tradition, the messages of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's what we try to do. If we could succeed in Haggadah, of feeling it as if we lived it, so then we could be zoche, to be that sofer, that scribe, that can create something that will last for generations. Balala Pesach Harun Nikram Leo Sofrim Akosvim Asasipur. We are called to be the scribes that are writing our story. Bidyo, with ink, bilti machik, that will never be erased. Ali Boseim Akarem Shel Yadeinu. And again, if we're with our children this year, we're going to relate to this year often, because that's what we have to do. If we're just within our nuclear family, we have to do our best with all the challenges that entails, because our children are going to remember, how did we function and how do we pass over the Mesorah in this more challenging year? And if, Rachmana Litzlan, there is a parent or a grandparent that can't be with the children, except with a Zoom maybe on Erev Yontif, then we have to recognize that we have to be strong and have the inner fortitude to be able to, as the Gemara says. The Gemara says if somebody's by themselves, they have to be mesaper to themselves to try to get the feeling with all the challenges that that entails. But we have to do our best, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us, in order to write it on our children, our grandchildren, or even on our own hearts. And that's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mashbos habitu Safar Rabbi Nekshur Rak Leksiva Sefer Torah Elom Alom Moshe Moshe Kasa. Moshe was called the Safar Rabbi, the great scribe, because he inscribed the Torah on all of Am Yisrael, on their hearts, forever and ever. And that's what he ends off. Zui Chovaseinu Gam Anu B'Lel HaSeder Lachroses HaTorah, to engrave the Torah, Lo Rak Al HaKlaf Ela Al Nafsho Seyem Shel Yadeinu Mamish. That's one thought of introduction. So now let's get into the Haggadah itself. The Haggadah itself, and we start off with the bottom of the page from the Haggadah Alekach Valdibur by Avram Shor, who quotes Kadesh Urchatz. Kadesh and Urchatz, we sanctify ourselves, and Urchatz, we wash our hands. So there is a drush that he quotes from the Sefer Divrei Shalom, that Urchatz obviously means to wash, but Rachatz in Aramaic has a different meaning. We say in Brich Shmei, in the Zohar from Parshas Vayakel, Bei Anorachitz, in him I rachitz, I have bitachon, I find security, I trust, Bei Anorachitz. V'lishbei Kadishi Akira, we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that have to do with us? Explains the Sefer Divrei Shalom, so often in life, Harbei Pa'amim, we go through the motions, and we get up, and we daven, and we do chesed, and we make brachos, and we do biker cholim, and we go through the motions, but we think to ourselves, does it really make a difference up in Shamayim? Am I really accomplishing something? Am I having effects in the Nefesh HaChaim talks about the effects that happen every time a little mitzvah is done? Is that really happening? I feel like it's by rote, I'm just doing it, I don't have full kavana anyway when I bench. I just go through the motions. Kadesh, tonight's a night that we sanctify ourselves, we go through the mitzvos, and Urchatz, and now we have bitachon. We recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take our mitzvos, in whichever form we find ourselves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take it, and caress it, and it'll be beloved, every mitzvah, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to have that bitachon, and believe in ourselves, and believe in the mitzvos that we do, every mitzvah daraisa, darabanan, every minhag, that we take part in tonight, Leil HaSeder. We have to have bitachon. Be'an arachitz, says the Sefer Devar Shalom, ki harbi pa'amim adam osa mitzvah, so ma'isim tovim. Ve'no margit k'dusha bas yasam. I don't feel the kedusha. Vayinu kadeshes atzmacha. So tonight is a night just to do it, sanctify. V'acharkach batach b'Hashem ki toch lalecha kedusha milamala, and the effects will happen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the kedusha ki ala adam mutal asos eshalo. We have to do what we can. We have to do the kadesh. We have to do the mitzvos, and in that way, then we can rest assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the rest. Urchatz, have that belief. And that's how we start off the Seder. V'lachein ha'akdom alalala Seder, she'elo midas ha'bitachon, she'maisav ha'tovim, she'ose b'layla ha'zeh, ose roshem l'mala, v'osem tikunim gedolim. And we have to believe in that, and we have to recognize that schus that we have. Okay. And we start Magid. We're not going to focus this year on Karpas. We've discussed that many times, Yachatz. And we'll get right into Magid with Halach Ma'anya. Just before we do the Halach Ma'anya on the sheet in front of you, that hopefully will be on the screen in a minute, before we do that one from the Minchas Chein, just a thought from past years that I think is very important for us to think about this Pesach. And that is Rabbi Ginnack, in one of his Sfarim, in the Gan Shor Hashanim, quotes the following thought on Halach Ma'anya that we mentioned years ago. Halach Ma'anya di'achala v'asad of Ardi Yisrael, hashata avde l'shana haba, hashat. What are we doing? Why are we saying here? Now we're here, you know, then Lashon Haba. We say Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim at the end of the Seder. Why do we have to mention it? The first thing we do. We're still in the Gnus part. We're still in the process part. Right? What's the emphasis of saying already now, Hashata Ha'achol Lashon Haba B'Ardi Yisrael, Hashata Avdi Lashon Haba B'Rechor. See, he gives a mashal. He says, let's say somebody's in jail for 30 years. 30 years they're put in jail. The warden comes and says, tomorrow morning, you're going free. Tomorrow morning, you're getting out, you're going home. That night, what's his behavior? He's still in jail. He's still physically there. But he's walking with a jump in his step. He's walking, he feels good, he's very light on his feet. Why? What happened? He's still in jail. And what about the opposite case? Somebody's at home. They tell him that tomorrow, you're going to be arrested and going into jail for 30 years. He's in his house. He's already in jail. He already has the mentality that he's already incarcerated. He's already in shackles. It's already done. Because our state of mind is what determines our feeling and our state of reality in terms of freedom or incarceration. In the first story, he's still in jail, but they had the thoughts. He hoped. He knew it was coming. Lashana Babar Disrael. So that's a simon of a Ben Chorin. And that's what we do at the beginning of Magid. We say, Hashata Avdi, we're still in Golus, we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we still don't have a Karban Pesach, but we have the hope and the dream. And the darker it gets, the more we dig in our feet and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not taking no for an answer. Right? We're sticking to you, as we say so often in davening. And we have that attitude, and therefore that makes us free. And even if physically we might be quarantined, and physically we might be in small groups, we know that we have the attitude, Hashata Avdi, Lashana Haba, B'nei Chorin. Hashata Hacha, Lashana Haba. With all our hearts, we say it this year, that we have the attitude, so right now we are. But we have to, B'ed Hashem, daven hard enough to be able to actually have it. So that's one thought I think is very important and appropriate for this year. But now let's get to something other. Another thought that I think I may mention from other Haggadahs, but this year we'll see it through the Haggadah of the Minchas Chein, Rabbi Noach Olbaum's Haggadah, on the top of the second page. He asks, Yesh lo das, tahava l'katzer v'lomar, why do we have two different phrases? We have Hashata Hacha l'shana b'ardi Yisrael, and then Hashata Avdi, just say it once. Hashata Hacha Avdi l'shana b'nei chorin v'ardi Yisrael. Why do we have two separate phrases of Avdus Cherus, Avdus Cherus? Ulam kedai lahavi bakan divrei maran agon hakadosh reb Shaul Bruch. He quotes from another Haggadah. Da hachole eino margish b'cholyo. If somebody is ill and they're under sedation, they don't even feel pain. Right? If somebody had an operation and the anesthesia has not worn off yet, they don't feel anything yet. They don't even realize they had an operation. Ki meirov cholsha so eino margish u'meivin b'cholyo. They don't feel it. Aval, when do we know that healing is starting? when it starts wearing off and they start feeling like themselves and the reality is setting in, then they can think back, whoa, what was I just through? I couldn't even feel it. I was so under and sick. Then I feel it. When the anesthesia starts wearing off, but that's the simon already, that the refuah is starting. Umamish kamochein anachnu begola, says the Menchas Chayin also. We in Galus, for 2,000 years, do we feel the pain of not having a Beis HaMikdash? We have no idea. We don't appreciate it. We don't know what that kind of pain means. We're like that chole. We're under anesthesia. Ki avadim anachnu. We don't recognize how low we are because we don't even feel what we should be feeling. Imagine all Jews in Yerushalayim together, all stripes, right, left, all connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't even fathom that. We can't even have a get together in our day and age with Jews without arguments, organizational arguments, personal arguments. But we daven for the day when there isn't. There's only one organization, the Avdei Hashem organization. And that's what we daven for. V'lezeh Amar, says the Minchas Chayin, that's what's being referred to. Hashata Hacha, now we're sick. But L'shan HaBa B'Arad Yisrael, that's when the Geula is going to start. But once we start the Geula process, then we'll be able to realize how sick we were. Hashata Avdei. Then, once the healing starts, then we'll realize how we were in pain, we didn't even realize it. We even know what we were missing. So we start to heal. We'll know retroactively. And those are the steps. And what we have to daven for is to start feeling the pain. Start feeling the pain of not having a Beis HaMikdash. Because once we do that, then, right, the healing will start. I think the Nesiv HaShalom writes in one of his Sfarim, right, ki lishu ascha, kivinu kol hayom. The more we have kivinu, the more the lishu ascha. We have to have the kivinu. Holach ma'anya. And then we get into Manishtana. Manishtana, the question, the Aruch HaShulchan, that it's a statement, Manishtana alay lazeh, on the same page. This we did 4 or 5 years ago, but I thought it's an appropriate thought to mention again because it's so powerful. It's from the Be'er HaChaim. I forgot I didn't write it on the sheet. It's from the Be'er HaChaim Haggadah. And he writes, right, we know this is one of the oldest parts of the Haggadah. The Haggadah is layered, right? The oldest part of the Haggadah are the Psukim, obviously. But then we have Mishnah. Manish Tana is from the Mishnah. Then we have Brises and we have Gemara, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Avodah Mayinu versus Mitchil of the Avodah Zara. And then later additions, Dayenu was a late addition, Chad Gadya. But again, there's different layers. So Manish Tana is one of the oldest parts of the Seder. And the Mishnah says, Mazgalo Kosheni V'kan HaBen Shoel. You pour the second cup, and now the son asks. V'kan HaBen Shoel. Upirshut Sadikim. Says the Be'er HaChaim, the tzaddikim say that there's a remez here. Shenirmas b'dveyam hakdoshim ki begeshes ha'adam l'shelas manishtana nasis shas ha'kosher b'shmei marom. When we're about to start manishtana and we're into the seder, we already took one foot in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that tonight is our national birthday, and he's ready to have those feelings again of love, of lech nechachrei b'midbar. V'kana ben shoel. We are banim l'Hashem l'atem elokeichem. Now is the time to take a moment to tell everybody at the Seder. Let's all take 30 seconds and think of something. Could go around the room or just keep it private. V'kana ben shoel, something that we want, something that we need, something that we yearn for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. V'kan haben shoel. Whether it's so many needs, Rachmanos lan Yeshuos and Refuos, obviously first and foremost, Refuos and Yeshuos, and children, and marriages, and grandchildren, and health, and friendships. There's so much that we could daven for. There's nobody in the whole world that has nothing to daven for. There's something that we could be show of. V'kana ben shoel. Open up kol mishalas libo. V'kan b'makom u'bizman zeh ben shoel. Yochol kalish Yisrael ha'nikroim banim la'makom. Levakish bakashosav me'aviv shebashamayim. Now's the moment. U'biyoser efshar lifol sheifkadu kol chasuchei banim. B'zera shal kayam al avodascha liyarascha. To ask. Likras shas kosher zetzar avlios chacham aroas anolad. And he says, Yathi Rasa Nolad, you can't just come and say, okay, what should I think about? Maybe to think about it before Pesach. Maybe even to write a little note card for myself. Things I want to remember. Or maybe things that we don't need a note card. Shalo Yafsid is Damnas Golazu. Not to lose the moment. Or just to remind everybody at the Seder, at the beginning of Manishtana, we're going to stop for a moment. And we're going to all think about things that we need and that we want so badly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe there could be two. Maybe there could be one personal and one national. We could have everybody think. Because often when we think about personal, we think about a refuah, we think about a shidduch, we think about of our children should follow the right path and I should my job. But maybe we should also think about the Beis HaMikdash, and we should think about Kippas Golios, and we should think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs. So maybe even two things to make sure we focus both on personal and on national. And we have to do what we can to be able to use that moment, use these precious moments. Ulam lumaso kol bardas yaskel levakish dram nechutzim yoser. And we have to make sure that we use the time. And if we do this, and he continues and discusses important moments that he quotes in the footnote here from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, he says, V'gadta levincha bayom ahu lemar. So one of the pshatim of lemar on the left side, the Aruch Chaim says, one of the pshatim of lemar is, Tenach am yesh lo ben, amein lo em yeh pater. V'gadta levincha bayom ahu lemar is to say, if you don't have the son, lemar, say it and daven that you should have a son. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Shem Yagad Agada Amura B'inyan Yizakeu Hashem She Yagid L'Beno. If we say it properly to ourselves, we'll be zochet to say it to a son. V'chulu, but whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, but we should use the time to be able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him everything that we as his banim should be showing. So Alach Ma'anya, Manishtana, and we continue. If you look, I think I went a little out of order here. We have Mitchila. We'll do, let's just continue on the sheets, even though it's a paragraph. I mixed up the paragraphs. This one belongs in two from now, but we'll just go in order because it's here. Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Our forefathers, we know Rav and Shmuel, we focus on Avodah Mayinu, the physical bondage, and Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, the spiritual bondage as well. The question is, what's the emphasis? Is this in the Haggadah of Asapra Kavotcha, which is the same set as Bekar Yerusal Shabbos Oneg, the set of called Asapra Kavotcha? The question is, what's the emphasis that Rav or Shmuel, that we have to focus on the Gnus? We have to focus on the lowliness. Leish Lahavin is Iker Tam Hadavar. Madu Yish Laskir Balayla. This Gav says Gnusenu. We were over the Avodah Zarah. Now, what's the emphasis of that? So he quotes from Rav Shlomo, one of the Baalei Musar. La'achar mechames ha'olam, he quotes a mashal. Quotes a mashal after the Second World War, Yatzah Demecha, there was a man that was saved from the camps. Hasho ha'yuma osiro semeyoni, he was poor, he had nothing. Covers Mount Katsar, he finally got a letter from his uncle who lives in America, and his uncle was Mazman, invited him, he was going to give him the visa, and he came to live with his uncle. Fine. He saw the uncle sees what his nephew looks like. The haven ki matzavar briutino karaui. You know, he sees the state of health. He takes him to the hospital. He does all the tipulim. He pays for the hospital stay. Of Sachar as Tobi Arofim, he paid for private doctors. Fine, Baruch Hashem, he gets out of the hospital. Kasher is rapeh lachu ador al beso kemuftach. He takes him home. He gets him a job. He's able to get married. He's building. He builds a mishpacha. Kavur kasrim shana hesi eishes bino barof peer v'hadar barosh shulchan akavad yashav ador atov ha-beitiv. And this finally gets older and he marries off a child. And at that wedding, the uncle sitting at the dais. Dodia yakar panah ha-ish personi geis lo amar lecha toda. You know what? I want to say thank you, says the nephew to the uncle. And says the uncle, again, this is a mashal. The uncle says, sure, what are you going to say thank you on? On the getting you the visa, on the hospital, on the giving you a house, of a chuv. You have to start at the beginning in order to give proper hodah. You have to start at the beginning of the process. Because if I skip part, I'm like, thank you for helping me, my son, get married. Thank you for giving me a job, then you're missing. We're missing. We have to start at the beginning of the process to give proper hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either one, we have to make sure. Because if we don't, we're lacking in our hodah. we're lacking in our chiyuv of hodah, and we have to express it. We mentioned last night in a different shiur that we say in Dayenu, just skipping for a moment, we say in Dayenu, kama malos tovos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not lanu, but aleinu. Why aleinu? Should be lanu. Hashem did it to us. No, aleinu means it's upon us. Hodah is mechayev. Hodah is not just, I feel good, thanks a lot. No, it's mechayev an expression. Mechayev for me to do something. So again, that's mitchilo of Deva Dezorah. I was saying, we have to start at the beginning in order to give proper hodah and proper harkara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he has done. Everything has done for us. Okay, so I'm sorry. Now we're going to go back two paragraphs. After Avadim Ayinu, Maisa, Rebbe Elazar, the story of the five rabbis. Why were they in Bnei Brak? They went to see Rabbi Akiva. But what happened? They were talking about Tibur Tzitz Mitzrayim. Ad Sheh, Bo Talmidim, Ba'amr Lahem, Yigiyah, Gizvan, Kriyashma, Shel Shachars. Until their Talmidim come and say, it is time for Kriyashma, Shel Shachars. In the Haggadah, Talmudo Biyado. Talmud Obiyado, on the next page, the Baal Haggadah tells us a thought that's mentioned by a number of other Mefarshim. But again, he says it in the following way. L'manu mikan es midash ki usam b'mitzvah shal kolosam tanoim. You know what we see from here? We see from here the amazing ability to tune out everything else that was going on. And when they're involved in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's all they were involved in. There was nothing else, and they were shakua, and they were focused, and they didn't even realize what time it was. Ha'isak shebedivrei Torah mile as kol yishutam v'chavayas olamam achlo samalibam keitzan hazman cholev. They didn't realize how the time passed. Heim lo ro kol gedula b'kach shlof chinu. They didn't realize because this is what they were involved in. This is how they learned. Kach b'mili d'alma, kach b'mili Torah. And that's what it means, that a Torah is Mateshes Kocho Shel Adam. We learn from the story that when we're focused on something Ruchani, Torah and Mitzvot, it has to be all that we're focused on. All that we're focused on. I've spoken to a number of people the past couple of days. The most common feeling is Tarud. The most common feeling is that I can never focus on one thing. Because if I'm doing one thing, I have six other things on my mind. And I'm focusing on one child, I'm thinking about the laundry, and I'm thinking about the food, and I'm thinking about the other child, and I'm thinking about this limit and that, what am I going to do, and the job. And we're focused, I'm checking the news every 10 minutes. So we have pizur haruach, as the Bali Musar call it. We're all over the place. We have to try, as hard as it is, to have some time, whether it's when we're learning, whether it's we're talking to a child, whether it's whatever we're focused on, we have to try to be focused on that. And that's what they did when they were learning Torah. They were focused. And remember, they lived 100 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They also had a lot of tirdus. They also had tzaras. They were thinking, this is a seder. Without a Beis HaMikdash, without the Churban Pesach, the great Tanoim. But that's our job. That's what we have to learn. We have to focus. We have to focus on the Torah when we're davening, when we're learning, whatever it is. We have to make sure that we are focused. And he quotes a story that others far and quote also. It's told about many other rabbis, not many, a number of other rabbis as well. Here he quotes it from the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi was about to go through a certain type of surgery, but he didn't want to stop learning. So he said, do the surgery, but don't give me anesthesia, and I'm not going to move. They're like, what do you mean? It's a surgery. This is not something that we should be trying at home. But it's just, I'm not going to move. Not going to move. They're like, yeah. Reb Chaim, his son, took him to the surgery. He said he's not going to move. Don't worry about it. That's how the story goes. He goes and he has a surgery and he doesn't move. He starts thinking about his sugya. He started talking to Reb Chaim, his son, before the surgery. And the whole surgery, he thought about the sugya. And afterwards, he continued. And the doctors were amazed. And it went into some of the textbooks also in Europe. But again, he just brings that as an example of Achabo Talmideim. Because it's something that it was just, that was the focus. That was the focus. I think I've heard the story. I've heard it about the Meshech Chachma, and then I read it in the name of Rav Ovadia. Both of them. That one time, let's say it about Rav Ovadia, because that's what I saw more recently. Rav Ovadia went into when he was very little. He was very poor. He didn't have any books. He didn't have any svarim. He used to go to the svarim stores and read the svarim in the svarim stores. And he remembered it all because he couldn't take it home. So one time he went into one of the svarim stores and he had one of these ladders that go up on the, to get to the books on the higher shelves. He goes up on a ladder. He starts reading one of the svarim. And the storekeeper says, you know what? I have to close up now. He's like, can I just stay here a little bit? He says, yeah, sure. Just stay there. But when you leave, close the light, turn out the candle, whatever it is. Just lock the door. The storekeeper came back early the next morning to open the store, and Rav Avadia was still on the ladder looking into that sefer. Still on the ladder. Unbelievable. Hours. Somebody from our door. Somebody who was Shakua. Somebody who, this is the focus. You know, Lahavdil. Sometimes we talk to people who are focusing on something else. And maybe it's a screen and maybe it's a game and they don't hear us because they're so focused. So Kal v'chomer, we have to do what we can to try to be focused on the Dvarim Shebikdush. Okay. And then we get into Amar, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hareani Kven Shivim Shana. So this is from the Haggadah Idis Shebe Idis, which I think I mentioned last year for the first time. And that is, he has a harifus, as it's called. He has a sharp thought, asking a number of questions and then putting it all together. Again, we try to have different types of thoughts here in the Haggadah Shir. So first he tells us to remember, let's remember the story, the background to the story. Remember the story that I'm like 70 years old, and he says, let's just finish the Mishnah first. The Mishnah says, I'm like 70 years old, and I was never zoche to understand how do I know that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is even at night until Ben Zoma darshened. Until Ben Zoma darshened, let me just read it. Acha drasha Ben Zoma, Shinei Amar l'matizkar es yom tizkar meretz Mitzrayim kol yamei chayecha, yamei chayecha yamim, kol yamei chayecha halelos. Kol yamei chayecha includes the night. Kol yamei chayecha. V'chachavim omri mei chayecha olam hazeh, kol yamei chayecha lo v'lemos HaMashiach. Fine. Let's keep that Mishnah in mind for a moment. Question number one. So let's remember the story. The story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the rabbinic entourage that went to him in the fourth parak in Brachas to be able to offer him the position of chief rabbi because Rabbi Gamliel was removed and Rabbi Yeshua couldn't do it. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had all the milas. He was rich and he had yichus and he was wise. So they asked him, you know, you want to be the chief rabbi? So obviously the famous answer, instead of saying, sure, he says, I have to go ask my wife. I have to go ask my wife. What does his wife say? His wife says that maybe they'll fire you tomorrow. And his answer is, better to be a glass kli for one day than an earthenware kli all my life. Then she says, you don't have a white beard. No answer is recorded in the Gemara. No answer. He didn't answer her. It just says, overnight, he grew a white beard. Why didn't he answer her? Did he know he was going to grow a white beard? Why didn't he answer her? Question one. Question two, or step two, Rav Yonas and Eibishitz. Rav Yonas and Eibishitz points out, he quotes it here, that you know why he didn't answer? It was a little tricky. Because we all know, and we all know, we should know, we'll make it famous, it is famous, Shimon HaMsuni or Nechemiah HaMsuni, right, the different Gersos, darshened every S in the Torah, every S in the Torah, until he came to us, Hashem Elokecha Tira, as Hashem Elokecha Tira. What can you darshan from the word es, Hashem Elokecha? Hashem is infinite. You can't add on anything to Hashem. So what did he do? The Gemara tells us, in Psachim, Babakam, Kiddushin, that he stopped darshaning the Essen. He said, I must be wrong. It must be es doesn't teach me anything. And he threw it all away. And his Talmidim said, Rebbe, Kol Masha Darashta Matei Aleim, all that you darshan, what's going to be? What did he say? Kishem Shekibalti Schar Ala Drisha, Kacha Kabal Schar Ala Prisha. I'll get Schar, because this is the MS, and it must be that I don't darshan Essen. Ah, Shabar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva came and said, oh, Es Larabos, Talmidei Chachamim. You have to be in awe of Talmidei Chachamim, and not just Hashem. We've spoken about that Gemara often, which we're not going to get into right now. But one question asked Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz. Rav Elazar ben Azariah's wife asked him, you know, you don't have a white beard. What could his answer have been? But what do you mean? What do I need a white beard for? As Hashem Elokecha Tira, L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim, that's, doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't say a zakein, but Rav Yonatan Eibishitz said he didn't answer. Why didn't he answer that? Obviously, because he was an anav. He wasn't going to call himself a Talmid Chacham. He wasn't going to say that. That's why he kept quiet. Maybe he knew that, but he didn't want to say anything. And what happened that night? He grew a white beard overnight. What do you mean he grew a white beard overnight? What does that show? But one second, he didn't need the white beard because the other people would have given him kavod even without the white beard. The fact that he grew the white beard overnight shows us maybe that we don't paskin that yidarshin essen l'rabos tamidei chachamim. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? I'm like 70 years old. What does that mean? I grew a white beard overnight. I would have darshaned it from the Mantiskar. Es yom tzeschem meretz Mitzrayim kol yamei chayecha. Es darshin, including the nights. But I couldn't do that because I grew the white beard, so I didn't know that you could darshan the Essen l'rabos talmid ha-chachamim. Until Ben Zoma came and said, it's not from the S. Kol yamei chayecha. Halelos. And that's why he didn't give the answer, and that's why how the beginning of the sentence connects to the second part of the sentence. He says, I'm like 70 years old, and I can never figure out how to darshan. What's the kesher? We could have asked that at the beginning also. What do those two halves of the Mishnah have to do with each other? The answer is because it was the nace of the zikna of the beard that led to, maybe you would think that you don't darshan Essen, and that's why until Ben Zoma came along and darshaned, we wouldn't have known. Okay, moving right along. Baruch Hamakom Baruchu, Baruch Hamakom Baruchu, Baruch Shanasan Torah Lamo Yisrael. The top of the next page, top of page 6, we have a thought from Rabbi Lam from his Haggadah, the Royal Table. Rabbi Lam notes, this is a thought about the Haggadah. It's a thought about the Seder, but it's also a thought about life. Because we start off the paragraph by saying, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael, we give a bracha to the Torah, so to speak. Or we give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the Torah, and we recognize that the Torah is something special, something that is defining for our life, and it's tradition. Because Torah symbolizes Mesorah. And Torah symbolizes the tradition that we take from generation to generation. And that's what we say by Baruch Shanasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. On the other hand, and we'll say it outside, then we'll read Rabbi Lam's own words. On the other hand, right after we give a bracha and say how amazing the Mesorah is and Torah is, right after that we have all the questions. And we have the Tam ask a question, and the Chacham ask a question, and the Rashi ask a question. Everybody asks questions. What's the dialectic? Is it Mesorah, transmission, tradition? This is what we do. But we also have questions. And everybody asks questions. And we encourage questions. And we focus on questions. Because that's what Yahadus is about. And maybe this night more than any other night. Because if we think about the Seder, we do so much because this is what my father did and this is what my grandfather did. You know, what type of marah do you use and how do you eat the korech and what do you use for karpas and does everybody make their own kiddush or everybody, one person makes it every step of the way and who gets up to wash their hands and who gets it brought to the table and who pours the wine. Everything is Mesorah. Everything is tradition. Everything is passed down from generation to generation. And which finger do you use for the Dam Sardeya? Every little detail. But on the other hand, it's a night to question. And it's a night to delve. And it's a night to wonder and to ponder. And that's Yahadus. Yahadus is a dialectic and a balance between acceptance and Mesorah and taking the Mesorah with us and being proud of our Mesorah. And yet, with that Mesorah, always trying to understand and always trying to delve. Because Rabbi Lam notes, you could have two opposite types of religions. You could have one extreme, this is the Mesorah and this is what we do and don't ask me and don't talk to me and just do it and don't ask. Everything's a choke. And on the other hand, you could have a religion that, you know, you question everything and, you know, if you feel it, then you could do it. And if you're not feeling it and you have questions about it, don't do it. Whatever you want. You know, have a creative religion. And Yahadus tries to strike the balance. Because there's the Maisa Mitzvos, and there's the Mesorah that we are involved in. But we also encourage questions. Every daf of the Gemara, every amud of the Gemara is questions and questioning. Now let's read by Lamb's words. I embellished a little bit. In the convulsive times in which we live, all tradition is called into question, whether religious, social, political, academic. It's therefore no surprise that this challenge affects Judaism, which places great value on tradition as such. The emphasis is especially noticeable tonight. The Seder is full of tradition. Every action, every motion manifests centuries of sacred recollection. Those who are guided by the precept, do your own thing, are probably quite unhappy with such a ceremonial meal overladen with apparently irrelevant customs. They question tradition. They no doubt reject or at least challenge the entire Seder. But how do we react to their questions? We invite it and we encourage it. Let us never be perturbed by questions, says Rabbi Lam. They are characteristic of an alert and intelligent mind. As Jews, we welcome not only questions of inquiry, but also those of challenge. He says, in Yiddish, we call them to fear kashas. Kasha is not just an understanding. A kasha is a heart attack. A kasha, I have a kasha. And that's what we call it. because you can attack fiercely. It doesn't affect Meisim. As Rav Yisrael Salanter said, we quote, Ein Kelokeinu and then Mi Kelokeinu. Ein Kelokeinu first, we have Mesorah. Well, then we could question and we could delve and we could try to appreciate. Indeed, the very questioning of the tradition is itself a tradition, says Rabbi Lam. The questioning of the Mesorah is part of our Mesorah, because that is what we do. And that's what we do, as the joke, you know, two Jews, three opinions, because that's what we do. We're always focused. It is my feeling that the questioning of tradition and the traditional response to the traditional questioning are what constitutes the famous passages of the four sons right after Baruch HaMakom. And that's what he relates here, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. And right after that, we bless the Torah, we bless the Mesorah, and then we welcome the questions from all the children and all of the participants in the Seder. Good. So we go from Baruch HaMakom, we get into the four sons. This year we'll have a thought about the four sons, a question that is said, we've quoted it many times in the past, but maybe to elaborate a little bit differently based on the Baruch Sha'amar's Haggadah in the back of the Pirkei Avos. Back of the Pirkei Avos, he has his commentary on Pirkei Avos, and he has the Haggadah in the back. So he talks about the question that many Haggadahs deal with, and that is the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. The Chacham and the Rasha. The Chacham says, Ma ha'edus v'achukim asher tziva Hashem lakenu eschem. What is this? What are the edus and the chukim? And the Rasha, Ma avodah zos lachem. And almost every Haggadah has the question, what's the difference between lachem and eschem? And they both seem to excluding, right? What is the Rasha? We say by the Rasha, Hosi es aspo min haklal. Right? The Chacham also says eschem. There's a difference between lachem and eschem. So many Haggadahs say, but the Chacham mentions Hashem's name. Chacham mentions Hashem's name. Okay, that's one answer. But there's another answer given. There's another answer given here in the Baruch Sha'amar. L'chora ma ein hevdo ma mashi bein shelas ha-chacham l'shelas ha-rasha. What's the difference? Ki ha-chacham sho'al gam kein mo'edis v'achukim. So he says, amazing. Achabir hu. Ki ha-chacham levad shezachar shem Hashem. The call atzmo am Yisrael. Besides saying Hashem, and he says Elokeinu, which includes himself. But there's another difference. What does he say? Maho edus v'achukim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. That Hashem commanded you. He's talking about the tzivui. Did he, the next child, get the tzivui? He's one step removed. He wasn't commanded. The parents got the command and passed it down to the child. So regarding the tzivui, it's not so bad to emphasize Eschem. Because he was, okay, his neshama was there, but he didn't have it. Be'emes rak l'ha'avos, ve'im abanim lo shamu oso, ki hayu od ketanim. U'michuvan, and remember, all of these psukim, all the questions that the sons are asking are from the Torah. That's what happened in the first generation. So when the children who aren't at Har Sinai say to their parents, ma'avoda, ma'ayidus v'achukim, et shatziyo shalakenu Eschem, that's fine. Because they're saying, the tzivui was given to you and not to me. But what the Rasha says is very different than the Chacham. What the Rasha says is, Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. It has to do with the avoda. It has to do with not just the tzivui that was to you, but it's what's this avoda? Avoda, he's in the avoda. He's saying, what's this avoda that you're doing? He also has to do the avoda. That's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. The Chacham excludes himself from the tzivui, and the Rasha excludes himself from the avoda itself. Moving right along, as we get past the Dalet Banim, we get into Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh. Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that Rosh Chodesh is the time that is the beginning of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Brisa says Tamalomar Bayomahu Ibayomahu. You might think me Bo'od Yom Tamalomar. No, only Bavurzeh Lo Amarti LaBashoshi Matzu Marar Munachin LaFanecha. Only when you have matzah and marar in front of you. Says Rav Dessler in his Haggadah. Says Rav Dessler, what's the message of this paragraph of Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh? Every day we know we have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. But tonight, B'leil Pesach, Achiv, Hu L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to say it over, right? We have to have Haggadah, Eidus, Kibiyos Hayom Vazman, as Rav Dessler says, Mat'im Imamish L'Yom Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hari Bazes Siyuam Yuchad. We have a special opportunity. And what do we do tonight in order to help us? We are human beings and we need props. We need physical props to help it, to help deepen the feeling and internalize it more. Because just talking about it, philosophizing about it, is not what's going to make a difference in our life. It's not going to shape us. We need to live it. We need to feel it. And Eina Doma Shmila Re'ia, hearing about it, talking about it, no, eating matzah and eating maror and seeing different props on the table, that itself makes the world of difference. And he gives a mashal from the Saba from Kelm. He says, Eina Secha Pola Adam Kemu Achush. We know we are human beings. So human beings, we have sense of sight, sense of smell, sense of touch. We have all the senses. And we have to use those senses in order to make the most out of every experience. And using the senses makes it a deeper experience. He says, imagine somebody remembers a relative of theirs. Remembers their relatives. They know exactly what the relative looks like. Let's say it's their grandfather. They remember their grandfather and they remember exactly what he looked like and they remember that. So why take out a picture of him? Why does that do something different and deeper? They see him in their mind's eye. They see their grandfather. But we take out a picture to look at. Why? What does the picture do? The picture deepens it because we're human beings. And human beings, when we use our senses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us with, it makes the world of difference. Only using our senses makes a big difference. Ha'adam chafetz b'tzilumei krovav. Av shezochrem b'lavachi. We remember. Mikomakom atzilum amuchash adif. Right, lo. Me'anitfaz izikaron. Even writing something, right? A picture is worth 1,000 words. A picture. Because a picture is enodoma. You can write about it and you can see it. And guess what? Even black and white versus color makes a difference. Because that's using more of our senses. The more senses that we use, the more it affects us. He says, kavachomer b'menosha kavachomer, when we're trying to internalize feelings of ruchnius, we have to be involved in the maisa hamitzvahs. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not yochol me'rosh chodesh, it is dafka b'shash yesh matzor maro l'machon l'fanecha. And that's what we have to do our best in trying to inculcate these values and focus on the maisa mitzvahs of the night and do what we can. And again, this is why also, you know, as much as we could add into the Seder with physical props and games and the makos and anything that one could do, you know, to make it more meaningful for themselves and for their families, you know, that's something that obviously is a kiyum of this. B'shar sheish matzu marar munachin lefanecha. Okay. Baruch Shomer Haftachaso. Sorry, I skipped one. We have another thought on Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah and Avodah Mayinu. Oh, I'm sorry. That's why. I take it back. That's why it was that thought that I mentioned before on Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, I put on Avodah Mayinu. It was from Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah in Nagadah, but I wanted to say it related to Avodah Mayinu. So it was in order. Take it back. This thought, this paragraph is now on Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah. Okay, this is from Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein's Haggadah, From Darkness to Destiny, where he discusses, if we read the paragraph, you know, why is it Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah Yavaseinu, our forefathers were of the Avodah Zarah, and now we have been brought close to his Avodah. Shenemar, what's the Shenemar? We quote a pasuk in Yehoshua. As if there aren't enough psukim in the Torah to talk about our roots. Vayomer Yehoshua, Komar, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the last parak in Yehoshua, parak Chavdalet, where Yehoshua is giving a little Jewish history lesson. Be'ever Anarar, Yashua Voseichem, Me'olam, Terach Aviavrem, Avinachar, Vayavdol HaMachirim. Okay, it's Mefurish here, that they were of the Avodah Zarah. Vayekach Azavichem, Ezam Eber Anar, Vayolech Osam Chalers Kenan, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Esav, Vayakov Avonav Yardul Mitzrayim. So what's the emphasis? We have to be so lengthy and use so many psukim to talk about this idea, this, so to speak, overquoting, as he says. It goes through Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esau, whole story, and we went down to Mitzrayim. So what exactly is the message of these psukim? Says Rabbi Bernstein, if you think about it, we're spending this entire night talking about how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and it's so amazing and so great, and we have such hakaras hatov. But the obvious question might be, who put us into Mitzrayim in the first place? Thanks so much. You sent us to Mitzrayim. Oh, you want to blame Yosef's brothers? Okay, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating behind the scenes. So really, Hashem sent us to Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So isn't that, as he gives the mashal, right? Isn't that as he gives the mashal? If a doctor came by and fixed your broken leg, you would certainly be filled with gratitude. But if someone came by and broke your leg, and then he happens to be a doctor, and then he fixed your leg, you're not going to be so happy and say, thanks so much for fixing my broken leg. So what are we so happy about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim if he was the one that put us into Mitzrayim in the first place? So he says maybe there's a third scenario. Maybe there's a third scenario. In order to fully appreciate, let us consider a third scenario where the doctor breaks a rib in order to have access to vital organs that are in dire need of treatment. That's the mashal. This changes the picture dramatically. Set against this much greater problem, the breaking of the rib is no longer looked upon as the problem. In fact, it's now looked upon as the beginning of the cure. We have to appreciate who we were. You know what was in our DNA? In our DNA was Avodah Zarah. The Rambam writes, Avram Avinu, the first Jew, did Avodah Zarah. Slowly, slowly, the Avos were able to wean it out of our system, but it was still there. Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, they kept perfecting it and kept perfecting it, but it was still there. The only way that it could be gotten out of us is where we would be put into an environment of Avodah Zarah and reject it and be different and be taken out. And it would be the Kor HaBarzel. It could be a pot that purifies metal. That's what Mitzrayim was. Kodesh Baruch Hu had to break our ribs in order to fix what was inside. Because we had this tendency and penchant for Avodah Zarah, which we know later on came back as we read through Sefer Malachim. You know, there was this taiva that we couldn't get rid of over and over again. The bummus, they couldn't get rid of this. The answer to this problem was to go down to Mitzrayim. And here we confront the startling idea. The Jewish people were formed not only by the exodus from Mitzrayim, but also by the oppression experienced while they were there. Forging a Jewish identity meant ridding it of any affinity with the prevalent feeling of which it shared a common ancestry, v'chulu. And therefore, we had to go down. Hashem put us down there because that was part of the cure. And that's why we have to mention, mitchili avdei avodah zarah hayavoseinu. And that's why, if you look on the top of the next page, similarly, being reduced to the level of slaves represented a core deconstruction of the Jews as a people. This meant that when they were taken out by Hashem, they were entering a national existence anew, fundamentally free of their idolatrous roots. And that's why we have to be lengthy, mitchili avdei avodah zarah hayavoseinu, and we even talk a little bit about the avos, how they started the purging process, but ultimately it had to be purged through what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, right? The Mitzrayim is called the Kor HaBarzel in the Torah itself. Obviously, until the Gemara tells us in two places that the Anshei Etz HaGadolah killed out the Yetzer Hara for avodah zarah, which is not for us right now. Okay, Baruch Shomer after Chazal Yisrael. Then we have the next paragraph. Baruch Hashem, Hashem kept his promise, fulfilling the promise of the bris bein habisarim. And again, the question is asked by many Haggadahs. I gave it here. The Haggadah, the Osir Satara, quotes from Vayaged Avraham that, you know, it's so great to keep your promise. Hashem promised. So of course, he doesn't. Hashem is not bound by time. And the fact that he keeps his promise, you know, it's just a human being keeps his promise, that's good. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promise, what's the gavlus? So he just has one little detail idea. He quotes, Hinei Mitzrayim Aisa v'yav mahem en amalchiyas gedolos ba'olam b'chol minei gedulos bein bo'osh ben b'kovid. In Mitzrayim at that time, it was a tremendous, riches. It was the wealthiest civilization. Kigan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Im Kain, when the Pasuk says, by the bris ben habasar, v'achar achen yetzu berchush gadol, how do you define gadol? What does gadol mean? Right, the Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his farm, if you ask a pauper, is so-and-so rich, you might get one answer. If you ask Rothschild, is so-and-so rich, you might get another answer. Depends who you ask. Right? It has to be, it's not objective. So when it says, v'achrechein yiksu b'rechush gadol, when it comes to the Jewish people, you know what rechush gadol might mean? Taking out a couple of fruits and vegetables. They have nothing. So what's rechush gadol? Kama gadol tzorach lios ha-rechush, sheyik reitzel misrim rechush gadol. So you know what? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise. It was Rechush Gadol even in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. Because it was an objective Rechush Gadol. And that's what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. on this night when we left. Hagam she'etzel b'nei Yisrael, asher abdu b'hem Yisrael b'farech, v'yemor eschayim avod akasha, they had nothing. Halo ma'atu ma'shenikra etzlam rechush gadol. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo shamar haftachaso b'inyin rechush gadol. Lefi das am Yisrael, elfi ma'shenech sh'beini Mitzrayim l'rechush gadol. And that's what we say, Baruch shomar haftachaso l'Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the imtomar, what's the shevach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishiv etz hakeitz la'asos kamo shamar l'avram avinu, Ratzalomar, Shechishiv etakis lasos asara yoser tov liYisrael, kigei yerezaracha beres lo lahem, and the measure will be by the measure of lahem, what they measure to be rechush gadol, and not what Bnei Yisrael would measure to be rechush gadol either. So Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promise, and then we go right into Vihi Shamda. Vihi, this, and Pashtus, even though we have a lot of varts on the Vihi, but the Pashtus is the Vihi is going on the promise. Vihi is this promise that has kept us going throughout the centuries. Vehi shandal avosein v'lano, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise that even though we have so many enemies that try to destroy us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzilenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzilenu miyadam. Rav Pam, in his Haggadah here that came out recently, the past couple of years, Rav Pam writes that in every generation there are many, in every generation we should say over the past 2,000 years as we have been here in Galus, there are many nations. There are many nations that, so to speak, are friendly or not friendly to Bnei Yisrael. Rav Pam says, you know what Vehisha Amda reminds us of? We have to remember Am Levadad Yishkon. We have to remember, no matter how close we get to any nation, there's going to come a time when we are not wanted, or we have to recognize throughout the world. I sometimes think, says Rav Pam, that the very establishment of the United Nations serves as a preparation for the Geula, and that perhaps it was created only so that at the time of Geula, there'll be an official record documenting the wickedness of the nations towards Klal Yisrael. You look at Avodah Zarah Daf Beis, the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah, the only Masechta in Shas that starts off with Agarata. So on Daf Beis Mabeis, the first Daf in Avodah Zarah talks about all the nations of the world are going to come in the future to try to get Schar. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, what you do? And they're going to say, we did this and we did that and we did it all for the Jewish people. And Hashem is going to say, what are you talking about? Shotim. Says Rav Pam, Akim of that Gemara are going to be the minutes of every meeting in the United Nations. Every meeting, how many statements have been made against the Jewish people? And how many statements have been made supporting the Jewish people? Every generation, Bechol Dar Vador. Yes, there are some friends that we have, but in general, the League of Nations, it is then that the archives of the United Nations will be opened, riddled with the evil speeches, resolutions, and plots masterminded by the representative of those very nations. Their own words will attest to their depravity and wickedness, and the mouths of the liars will be silenced. Bechulu, and he continues, that we have to recognize, obviously we have to do our ishtavlus, but we have to recognize that Ein lanu ela, Ein lanu amili she'ein ela avinu shebashamayim. You know, we might have friends amongst the nations, but our ultimate friend has a capital F. And the one and only Melech Malchei Amlacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's going to be in charge, right? Lev Malachim B'yad Hashem. And even the greatest, right? Even the greatest of leaders in the earlier generations, even the great pharaohs, they were just tools. They were pawns. The Paros and the Sancherevs and the Nebuchadnezzars, they were all pawns in the larger plan, as many of the Nevi'im Achronim always discuss, that they are pawns, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in charge. And when we read Vehi She'amda, we should focus on the Pashup Shad of the Vehi. Not only the drushes, but the promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us, and we have to focus on that promise, because that's what's going to get us through these difficult times. Okay, and then we go into Tse'ul Amad. Tse'ul Amad, after Vehi She'amda, we start darshaning, go and look what Lavan Ha'arami wanted to do to us. Mabikesh Lavan Ha'arami la'asos li'Yaakov Avinu. Shapiro only was gozer on the males. Lavan was gozer on Bikesh la'akar es hakol. And then we quote this Sifri in Parshas Kisavo, and we darshan the psukim there. This is the part of the Seder that sometimes people go on a cruise control and say, meet you at Dayenu. But really, it's a time that we should, again, there has to be some balance of getting to the Maisa Mitzvahs before the children fall asleep. But again, it should be, some thought should be given to some of these psukim. One there's a lot of talk about these psukim by the daytime meal as well. It's allowed, but again, one has to make sure to spend some time. But either way, the question that we're going to deal with is why love on here is called the Arimian. Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayim. It's based on the psukim in Dvarim Chavav. But here, Lavan Ha'arami. Lavan Ha'arami. So if you look in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I didn't give you the name, the Haggadah. It's the Haggadah of Arzei Levanon. The Arzei Levanon, some of the great contemporary Gedolim of the past generation. So he quotes this from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yesh lo tamua, Kata of Rabbi Yaakov. Ma lashan arami. Shalom atzinu b'shum makom shalavan karikach. We have Arami Oved Avi. But we never have in the Torah, Lavan Ha'arami. Right, only here, right here. Mapikish Lavan Ha'arami. Why is he called that? Aval Be'emes, says Rabbi Yaakov, and this actually relates to what Rav Pam just said. Eina kavana lavan bilvad. We're not only talking about Lavan. Look at what Lavan tries to do. Elo l'sinas kol ha'aramim li'Yaakov Avinu. It's the whole Arimian nation, what they did to Yaakov. Remember, remember when Yaakov first comes to Haran, what does he say? Vayomer lem Yaakov, achai me'ayin atem. Achi, that's where it comes from. Achai me'ayin atem. Vayomer, he was friendly. Vayomer mecharna nachnu. Hareshis yachis aleim ba'achva, od b'ter mikir, didn't even know who they were, and he was nice to them. Umikoshikin b'shehusu b'neim shevashanim, he was there for years. Vada haya b'gether shachin tov, v'hirba imam chasadim etovos. He did great stuff for them, and he was a bal chesed. Sure, he was nice. And then what happened? What happened? Lavan did the trick and gave the wrong wife, and everybody stayed quiet. And everybody played along, and everybody was an Arimian. And everybody was a charlatan. The Afal Pekin, Kasher Asaf Lavan, is Kalanchi Amakom, Lasos Mishte. The Yedu Kulam Shalavan Murameyu, Vino Nosin Los Rachel. Lo Nimsa Echon Mikolanchi Amakom. Not one of them was ready to be truthful to Yaakov. Hare Arami, Yiyam Ishayia, Oved Huet Davi. All the Arameans. Arami, whoever it was, whether it was Lavan, whether it was all of them. Umikan nil malachol adoros. Ukafishareinu gambiz manenu. Shekam aleinu tsorer ubikesh lachaloseinu rachman l'slan. Says Rabbi Yaakov. Avalamaisa samchu rov ruban shalagayim leidenu. What happened in World War II? Ruba the Ruba of the nations did nothing. Arami Ovid Avi. They stood by as the party took place. V'shasku ba'asoneinu, v'ratzu ba'avdadoneinu. Right, not until they themselves started feeling it. V'sakol mishpatenu, we have to recognize Arami Ovid Avi, relating to the Vehisha Amda. Well, we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that we could have faith in. One thought on the psukim, before we get to the makos and a couple of more thoughts for the shir. One thought on the psukim, we darshin. Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayihi Bimseim, Vayogar Sham, Melameid, Shalo Yarad Yaakov Avinu Lehishtakea Bimitzrayim, Elo Lagur Sham. Yaakov Avinu did not go to Mitzrayim to live there for a long time. He didn't go to be Mishtakea, Elo Lagur Sham. He went to live there. Well, now it's a famine. I'm going to go down. He wasn't planning to stay there forever and ever. Right? Lagur. Right? Not. And he goes to Pasig, Lagur Baris Banu, Kein Mir Latzon, Vechulu. Right, he went down with the reality and the recognition that this was not his home. He wasn't going to be Mishtakeya, he was going Lagur. Says Rabbi Jonathan Sachs on this pasuk in his Haggadah. B'nei Yisrael, when they were sent out of Eretz Yisrael, there are two English words that we could use. Dispersion and exiled. Dispersion is a physical scattering on the globe. That's what happened physically, but something much deeper happened. And Jews throughout history have recognized and remembered, maybe more, less sometimes and more other times, that we weren't just scattered physically, but we have been exiled. Right? Exiled means, even if we're scattered, you can have a new home. Exiled means you can never be home. We're in exile, by definition. Wherever Jews were scattered, they saw their condition as galus. Exile, rather than a mere dispersion, tfutzos. There were places like Germany, where they had lived for 1,000 years. There were others like Babylonia, in which there was continuous Jewish settlement for 2,500 years. In Bavel, Bavel, thousands of years. Yet Jews saw themselves and were seen by others as being here, but belonging elsewhere. Right? They spoke about in Talmud Bavli, they talk about Ma'arava. They did not mean, as their critics claim, that they had due loyalties. Few groups were as loyal to their societies and non-Jewish rulers as were the Jews. They made significant contributions, v'chulu. But it was different. It was, as we might say, to use words of Rav Soloveitchik that we mentioned in other years, they were avadim ayinu liparo, but they weren't avde paro. They were physically there, but they didn't identify. They knew that at some date in the future, the Jewish people would return home. They never mistook the immediate for the ultimate. And Rabbi Sacks writes about this often in his books, how there is no parallel in all of world history where there is a people that was exiled from its land 2,000 years, and they still daven to go back. And they still daven, and they haven't forgotten. And wherever they are, they daven for it, and they yearn. And a land after 2,000 years starts bringing the children back. There's never such a thing like that. The Babylonians and the Romans and the Phoenicians and the Greeks and it's never been. There's never a parallel. And that's the greatest miracle. The sense of galus was the Jewish immune system. Rachmanu l'Islam, that's why. If the immune system wasn't working, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, got involved. Like Rav Chaim Ivelazhin said, if the Jew didn't make Kiddush, the Goy made Avdallah. Right? That's part of the reality of the world. But Vayagar Sham, says Rabbi Sacks, throughout history, hopefully we remembered, Vayagar Sham, that we weren't there to stay, we were only there to sojourn temporarily, and we daven for the time when that is over, and we'll be able to be Mishtakeya, all Jews, in Eretz Yisrael very soon. Okay, we're moving on to the Makos. Makos, Dam, Sfardea, Kinim, every one of the Makos has something to teach us. We'll just focus on one. Focus on one from the Haggadah of Rav Nevinzal. Sorry, it's a little light. Copy didn't come out so well. The Makkah of Barad. Makkah of Barad. There's a detail at the end of Parshas Bo that maybe some of us might have thought about before, because once it's pointed out, you're like, yeah, why is that there? The end of Bar, we have Parshas Bo is unbelievable. Right? Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I should say Va'era. Not Bo, Va'era, the end of Va'era. Right, we have where Barad is. We have Dam, Sfardeya, Kinim, the amazing miracles changing nature, and then we have Barad. What does it say then? The Barad, fire and water came together, and then the Torah tells us, oh, and by the way, the stalks that blossom late, that weren't hard yet, that were soft, they bent a little bit, and then they survived. What do we have to know that for? What do we have to know that for? That the stalks that the Torah is madgish that madgisha Torah shachita akusemes lo nuku ki afilo seina, because they are late bloomers. They are late bloomers in the seasons. Therefore, when the bara took place, they weren't ripe yet. So that's why they weren't broken. What's so significant about that detail? And what makes it even more bothersome is that Rashi quotes from Chazal, afilos, instead of afilos of their late bloomers, it's from the Lashon even, pilei plaos. It was wondrous events that took place on the bar. What kind of wondrous events? It's natural. They didn't bloom till later. They didn't get hearts. They weren't broken. What's going on here? So says Rav Nevinzal, ubier bazeh, the bottom right. We have to remember that every single one of the Makos was some change in the Mareches HaTeva, was some change in the natural world. Everyone attacked it. We're not going to go through all of them, but some of the Haggadahs do, Dam and Sfardeya. Everyone went through something different in the world to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and Hashem could be Mishana anything He wants. Harinishtanta kol Mareches HaTeva lahoros ki yulavado shalit al hakol. What's Barad? Barad was the weather systems. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the weather systems of, and not just weather systems, but I guess the elements, fire and water coming together. So everything about every one of the Makos. Ubiyosa shari b'maka barad gufay ha-shinu yateva biyoser gadol. Kashash eish umayim ba'aleim bi'er buvya. Everything came together. So if fire and water came together, so says Rav Nevinzal, u'pasach hafches kasev es kol esef hasadeh hika barad. But one second, the pasuk says, kol esef hasadeh, every blade of grass, every growth, the barad hit. So how did anything survive? The whole thing was shalomi derech hateva. So how did anything survive, even the late bloomers, so to speak, the ones that blossomed late? On the top left, mashpa shagam esef harach nizok, shreksif kol esef. Aye, what must be, it was a nes besoch nes. It was a nace that fire and water came together and should have destroyed everything. And then it was besoch nace that the fire and water did not destroy the bara, the stalks that didn't grow yet, because they were afilos, and Hashem allowed teva, the natural rule, to flow at that moment. So it was a nace betoch nace. Because every little detail, if we think deeper and deeper about it, is showing the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's been pointed out, he quotes this at the end also, that remember what Rashi quotes, that when was the Makkah of Barat supposed to start? Sarat Srita Achaz, Moshe Rabbeinu made a mark on the wall and says, when the sun hits this mark, boom, the Makkah of Barat is going to start. One second. When the sun hits that spot, in a hailstorm, it's usually not so sunny. In a hailstorm, there is no sun. It's black clouds. What do you mean when the sun hits this spot? Neis besoch, neis besoch, neis. Everything is miraculous. Every detail of every one of the makos was meant to teach the Mitzriim and us who is in charge, who is the Shalit b'chal ha'aretz, like the Ramban points out, the three Lashonos, Ein Kamoni b'chal ha'aretz, Ki Lashem ha'aretz v'chulu. But that is, Reb Nevinzal says, we could focus on each of the makos and recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gavus is manifest in each. Okay, just those of you who are still with us, we have four more thoughts. Four more thoughts as we continue going through the Haggadah. We get to Dayenu. Each one of the lines of Dayenu could be focused on. We'll focus on the Shabbos line. Ilu nasan lanu es haShabbos. Ilu nasan lanu es haShabbos. The pasuk says. The phrase says. In Dayenu, ilu nasan lanu es haShabbos. V'lo kervanu l'fnei Arsinai. Nasan lanu es haShabbos. Says the Oiv Yisrael. Says the Apterav. Quoted here in the Haggadah of Berach Hasidus, but it's from the Oiv Yisrael, the Apterav. Nasan lanu es haShabbos. What's the emphasis? The Gemara tells us in two places, the Shabbos and Beitzah, that Shabbos is called a Matana Tova. Shabbos is called a great gift. Be'emes ro'i v'nachon l'cholish maskil v'navon. Every person should think, l'sum elibo l'tzaposu li'achel kol yimei achol li'os b'shomer yashabbos. We have to focus on Shabbos every day of the week. Right, somebody sent a WhatsApp recently that the time that we're living in now, there's only two types of days. The only way that we remember what day of the week it is because we say the Yom every morning. But every day, it's what is it? It's either Shabbos or not Shabbos. That's basically, we do the same thing every single day. So that's the time we're living in. So we can really prepare for Shabbos every single day of the 6 days because that they're all the same. So, but we should prepare for it. Kamo vaviv shamar asadavar. Ulehis lahev ma'od. Masa yagia yom ha-Shabbos ha-Kadosh. And we have to think about when is Shabbos coming. Vlios mekuveh v'nichzachum ish-tokeik. And we have to yearn, when is this matana going to come to us? And we have to do as much hachana as we can. Ki vadi boi hachana rabba kol echad v'echad kol vav yimei ha-maisa every day. Al kudushas ha-Shabbos. So we have to do everything we can, and we have to have hachana, and we have to prepare physically and spiritually. But says the Apter Rav, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, no matter how much we prepare, when we get anything out of Shabbos, it's not because I prepared, so I get it. So it's magiali. It's, you know, I get menucha, and I get spiritually uplifted on Shabbos, oh, because I prepared. No. Preparing makes me a klei kibul, but it's still a matana. It's still all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what we get out of Shabbos. And even if we prepare a ton, it's still up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem nasan lanu es haShabbos. It's a matana. It's a matana. Right? How many nasans are there in Dayenu? Ilu nasan lanu es mamonim. Hashem gave us the money in Mitzrayim. Nasan lanu es haShabbos. Nasan lanu es haTorah. There are three nasans. Because we have to recognize, it's a nasan. It's not that we magia lanu. Achaf al pisha mechan et atzma b'chol ha-yoser efshari l'kudush ha-shabbos al yomar adam b'libo ki lefi ha-chanaso royu lios nishpa alo var kudush ha-shabbos. Magia li, I prepared for Shabbos, I deserve it. Nothing about deserving. It's a matana tova, it's a chem de genuza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had eina ra'ui l'kudush ha-yona neflazu. We have to prepare ourselves to make ourselves a clay kibol. But we have to recognize that it's a matana, and that's what we could think about when we say the words, ilu nasan lanu es haShabbos. Good, then we get into the big three. Rabbi Gamliel haya omer, the Mishnah, kosh lo omar shloshet varam ilba Pesach, lo yatsi dechavaso Pesach, matzah, morer. So one point on matzah. What pasuk do we quote for matzah? From Shmos Perek Yud Beis, they baked the dough, vayofu es habasek ha-jotiyum mitzrayim, ugos matzos. They baked it, kigarshu mitzrayim. They run out of Mitzrayim, v'lo yachlu lehispamea. They couldn't delay, v'gam tzeda lo asa lahem. Gam tzeda lo asa lahem. They did not take any snacks with them. This is also a thought that's going to relate to the period of time we find ourselves in now. Says Rav Zilberstein in the Haggadah Chashuk Echemed, Pesach Chag Ha'emuna. Pesach is the Chag of Emuna, as we know. Ha'emuna Tzmima Bavori Olam Emuna in Hashem. Ose Emuna Shelivsa says Am Yisrael B'Teisam Mitzrayim. The Emuna that took them out of Mitzrayim. And we have to think about this a little deeper, even though we know it. We know it, but let's think about it. And how'd they do it? Achas hadigmos hamufhako shel emuna, one of the great examples of emuna, shepiyama belibos bnei Yisrael betzeizim Mitzrayim, was lechtech acharei bamidbar without any tzeda. As we just said, let's think about this. Sarach shuv v'shuv lahalos adar b'dimyono, v'lu kedei ladas lahavin le'eza am inen mishtaychem. Right, we know, even now, there's some people that are nervous. Everybody, all the governments say, the food, Beth Hashem, there's going to be plenty of food, there's no reason to hoard, there's no reason to do anything. But some people are so anxious, you have to go, you have to pack up, you have to... In Mitzrayim, they left with zero. They left with matzah on their backs. Nothing! And there would be a good reason to hoard. There'd be a good reason. There's nothing. What are they going to? They're going to the desert. Am shalem hamone mispar atzam shel bnei adam. Millions of people going out. Men, women, and children. Loloshia bitziklona mizon aladarach. Nothing. How'd they do it? No makolets. No snacks. How did they do it? There's only one way that they could have done it. With a deep emuna. But what does that emuna mean? If I think I'm leaving Mitzrayim and just going to the middle of nowhere, I'm nervous. But if I think I'm going into the palace of the king, and the king is walking with me, the king's going to take care of me. Ki hu matzui kol ha'eis ba'armono shel ha'melech, u'misho huzman la'armon ha'melucha tzorach la'havi l'sham ochel. If I'm going to the palace, I have to bring food? No, I don't have to bring food. The king's going to take care of me. V'chi enos rosef shel melech dai v'hoserk de l'farnes. This emuna that they had, though, was tangible, and they lived it after the Makos, and then Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's what we have to remember, that our forefathers did that. We went into the Midrash Eretz Lo Zeru, and at this time of our life, we have to try to have as deep of emuna as we can regarding the situation. Lechtech acharei b'midbar, it's a Lo Zerua. Life is lo zarua right now. We don't know what's going to be. But Israel didn't know what's going to be either. But they had a promise from Moshe Rabbeinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take care of them. And guess what? We have the same promise. We have the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Again, it doesn't mean, like the Chazon Ish writes, right? Bitachon does not mean that everybody's going to live happily ever after and everything's going to work out perfect. That's not what Bitachon means. Bitachon means that sometimes there's going to be difficult situations, Rahman al-Islan. But Bitachon means that Hashem's in charge. And Hashem is going to take care of us in the larger scheme of things. And therefore, we have to make sure that we have that emuna, as we say this pasuk, v'gam tzeda lo asu lahem. Okay, getting back to the, right, be'an arach, it's getting back to the orchatz, exactly. Okay, two more thoughts. B'chol dar v'dar, the end of Magid, we say, b'chol dar v'dar, chayev adam liros as atzmo, kilu hu yatzim v'tzrayim, every dar v'dar, every generation. There's a fascinating thought by the Shemen Atov. In his Haggadah, where he writes, he quotes a thought that he says on the Pasuk, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dorosav. Noach was a tzadik, he was righteous in his generations. I didn't see this question in too many Sfarim. Why does it say b'dorosav in his generations? B'doro. Tamim haya b'doro. Singular. He only had one generation, didn't he? Okay, darshan l'gnai, darshan l'shvach, but it should have said, tamim haya b'doro. L'charakasha, why does it say Dorosav Lashon Rabim? How many generations did he actually live in? Says the Shemen Atov, each person lives in three generations. Okay, not Adam Arishon. But after Adam Arishon, every person in history lives in three generations. They live in their parents' generation, connecting in their youth what they get, what they imbibe, what they learn from the previous generation. They live in their own generation, and they live in their children in the next generation. Because whatever age we're up to, we look up at the previous generation, we look down at the next generation, and we also look at our generation. So we each live in three generations. Adam chai l'chalapachos begimel doros. Dar shalo v'dar shal aviv v'dar shal b'no. V'chein b'noah chai begimel doros. B'dar enosh b'dar amabo b'dar aflaga. And that's what it means. He was a tzaddik tamim haya dorosav. In all of his generations. in all of his generations, Noach was a tzaddik compared to the Dor HaMabul, compared to the Dor HaFlaga, compared to the Dor Enosh earlier. And says the Shemen HaTov, each of us have to live and get the most out of each of our generations. Because he says, we can learn things from every generation. And he gives examples. In our Dor, you know, sometimes we can look back and we can look back at the Emunah Pshuta and the Avodas Hashem of the previous generation. He writes, you know, it's fascinating. I put this together a week or two ago, but, you know, fascinating for this time period. He says, there are those that, look at Pesach, and, you know, in the days of old, it was like, I have to clean the house, and I have to prepare, and I have to cook, and after this, and after that. So he says, sometimes there are those that say, you know what, I have to get ready for Pesach. Let me book my plane tickets. Not this year. This year, everybody's got to do it the old-fashioned way. Everybody's making Pesach. Everybody's cleaning. Everybody's preparing. And maybe, says the Shemen HaTov, we could look back at the earlier generation and see how they got ready for Pesach. That's one example. But he says, then you could look at the next generation. He says, there is a tofa'ah, there is an occurrence that's not so uncommon in life. That we see sometimes that the younger generations are those that inspire the earlier generations. The younger generations come back and they become more observant and they become more focused on Talmud Torah and they start inspiring their parents and their grandparents and the whole family is connected. So that's in the future generation. Says Shemen HaTov, we have to look at every generation, the previous, the present, and the future, and get the most out of every generation and learn the lessons. Learn the lessons. L'ficha tzarekal adam liyos mazug mishnei doros ulahotzi rakat saratov v'nimso de doro yia. Your generation will take the most out of the previous and the most out of the next. The doro yia tzarashava shvem kulo tov ubekula mutzarech l'shabeach ulahalel. And that's what we say at the end of Magid. B'chol dar v'dar. In every generation, and getting the most out of every generation, Chayav Adam Liro says, Atzmo, Hainu, Bechol Dor Vador, B'mizug, Shal Dor Vador, B'mizug Azeh Yisnaheg, V'yira Es Atzmo. And again, he goes through the examples, I'm not going to read it, but that's what we have to try to do our best to get the most out of every generation. And finally, when we finish Magid, we come to the meal. We come to the meal, we have Shulchan Aruch, and as it has been pointed out, this meal is a very special meal. Right, this meal is in the middle of Hallel. We said the first two paragraphs of Hallel before the meal. We're going to finish up Hallel after the meal. That brackets the meal in a way that we have to recognize throughout the meal. Again, we have to relax, and it's a more laid-back time, and there should be schmoozing, and there should be a certain more laid-back feeling, but the levity and the certain conversations, hopefully. We have to remember this is a Hallel meal. This is a Su'udah of Hallel. Says the Berach Chaim, B'layla zet zorach li zorah ma'od le'echol su'udas yamtif b'simcha mito kovid rosh. L'motar le'tzayet. I don't even have to say, she'en le'dabar dvaram b'teilim b'sharan yani ha'olam. You know, if somebody wants to fall asleep, take a little nap, okay. Rak ye kolisko b'sibir tzis b'sarayim v'divrei Torah v'kdusha. V'achila b'ofan zeh chashuva ka'amiras Hallel. The eating is the challah, and he quotes from the Imrei Emes, Sha'achila b'lala seder ha'vikahalelya arichta, u'memeil p'shita she'enem afsekes. It's like one long halel. Right, there's a lot of extended opportunities, right? We know Kiddush Makom Suda, the Poskim talk about. How do you have Kiddush Makom Suda? You need the Suda right after Kiddush. We're not having the Suda, we're not eating matzah 2 hours later. Because it's all a hemshech. We are creating the lechem oni by having magid. So it's all a hemshech, it's all part of the Suda. See here too, this is all part of the halel. Part of the Hallel is thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us an opportunity to eat good food, to eat with family, to eat even Rachmana Litzlan without family this year, but we're eating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eliyahu HaNavi. We're going to have at the Seder, we're going to have special guests at the Seder, those Rachmana Litzlan who have to be alone this year, and we're with you, and we yearn for the day that nobody has to have a Seder alone, or any less people at the Seder than they would like. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has other plans, at least B'derach HaTeva for this year, but we have to recognize that this is a special meal, this is a meal that we should read and learn and focus on things that give us inspiration, that give us a feeling of malchus, a feeling of recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And again, the night ends off with a hallel, with a shevach v'hodah. And throughout history, and let's take chizik in this, throughout history, there have been so many different challenges to the Jewish people. This one happens to be to the entire world. But throughout history, the Jewish people have had their challenges in terms of making siddurim. We've all heard different stories. You know, it was going around, those who saw the Yiratzon to say before eating chametz in Bergen-Belsen, the Yiratzon that was written. But again, Rachmana Litzlan, there's been so many challenging Pesachs throughout history. Let us all try to put things into perspective, and let's try to all reconcile that if we have the schus to be able to have matzah, to be able to have maror, to be able to have dalad kosos, to be able to have a roof on our head, to be able to have people who care about us, whether they're there or whether they're not there. We'll speak to them before, we'll speak to them after. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. Bei ana rachitz. Kadesh Orchatz. We have the bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. We have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us and has a plan. And Beth Hashem, Benisa Nigal, Benisa Nasidim Lihigael, we should be Zoche, that, as the Navi says, Pit'om, it's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen in a moment. We're not going to even fathom. So, Yiratzon, that this is the month, right, we're already a couple days into Nisan, but this is the month, Beth Hashem, that we should be Zoche, to be able to be Mekabel Panei Hashchina, Mekabel Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimheira V'Yameinu, Amen.